Now, back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Tom Crawford, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in our next guest, and that is David Jones from the Harrisburg Patriot News, covering Penn State today in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Hello, Dave.
How are you, Rumi?
I am just fine, and I guess you've got the game of the day, right?
I don't know. It's certainly an interesting game. We'll see about that later. I kind of have a sneaking feeling that this is like Penn State and Notre Dame 4 years ago, where everyone thought it was a big game, and then it turned out neither one of them were even major players, which
right.
I said at the time, I don't think either one of these teams are going to be anything this year. And I get the same feeling this year. I just don't think Alabama's all that great this year.
And, would you rather be in the horseshoe for Miami and Ohio State?
Well, I don't know that that's going to be all that entertaining, but I think it'll certainly be close. It's going to be 12-9 or something, 9-5, don't you think?
Well, I don't know. I keep hearing how Terrell Pryor is headed for the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
So. You do keep hearing that, don't you?
You do. Yeah. I know. The guy had a good game against Oregon, and suddenly, look out.
Yeah. Did you see Tyrod Taylor, that kid from Virginia Tech?
There's a player.
That kid has improved more in 2 years than Pryor will his entire career, which will include 4 years before he's cut in the NFL.
How important is today to the Big Ten, Dave? You've got Michigan, Notre Dame, battle of unranked teams. You've got Penn State trying to be the giant killers at Alabama, and then you've got Ohio State hoping to make it back to a national championship game. I guess it has to win today to do that.
I think the little snake in the grass might be Michigan. They're interesting because I think Denard Robinson, if Rich Rod doesn't use him like 50 times, run him 50 times this week. If he can stay healthy, you know, he can raise Michigan up into the 8-win plateau and really cause some trouble in the league. You know how I feel about Ohio State. I'm an Ohio State grad, but I just will never believe in Terrell Pryor as a national championship quarterback.
Right.
I mean, I don't see how he can screw up that team. But as a national champion, no, it ain't never going to happen. They're number two. This Alabama team we got here is supposed to be number one, but they're not. They've got nine new guys on their defense.
Who is number one?
I don't know. I know that game the other night was one damn good football game.
Yeah,
how much fun was that?
That was great stuff.
Now, I have a feeling that both of those teams are pretty good. I can't tell you how impressed I was with Tyrod Taylor, and he was the losing quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, making great plays all over the field all night. And 2 years ago, he was one of those run-first, scatter-armed, scatter-brained-looking guys. And now he looks like a complete quarterback. And did you see the ratings on that game?
No, what were they?
Incredible.
Were they? Yeah.
Yeah, 7.3
wow,
national rating. That is unbelievable. It was the highest rated college football game in 16 years, tied Ohio State and USC from last year. And then you got to go all the way back to Florida State and Notre Dame, I think it was in 94. That's a tremendous number. And what that tells me is people love college football in college football cities.
Right.
And it got like a 25 in Birmingham. It got a 15 in Columbus. Crazy numbers for a couple of markets that are tiny.
Yeah.
We're talking about Boise and Blacksburg, Virginia.
Right.
That would never happen in the pros. So, to me, I don't care who's the number one team. I just love college football like that. That was a tremendous game.
Well, I think Virginia Tech has been historically undervalued. Certainly, if you look at their accomplishments, they've been right up there. And Boise, there are people who will never give Boise State credit.
But what I like is in the middle of the game there, they went up 17 points, and then in the middle of the game, they really came, the home team really came at them. And it was like an away fighter in an enemy gym who just has to survive the middle rounds. And then they came and got the game at the very end. You know, that showed a lot to me. And they were hanging in there and just hitting. And the middle of that game was blocking and tackling and pursuit on defense. And I don't know how you could not come away really impressed with Boise State there. So maybe they're at maybe TCU or someone weird. Maybe it's that kind of year.
You know, I was very impressed, as you suggested, with the defensive line for Boise State.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that.
No. Really cracking pads in the middle of that game where Tech really believed they were going to win. They were coming on, and how many other teams that we've seen in the Big Ten would have folded under that kind of pressure or just wouldn't have had an answer for it?
Probably 11 out of 11.
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't think Ohio State would have withstood that. I don't.
You know, there are a lot of people who would say, well, Boise plays a schedule where they can get up for one or two games a year, and so they would never consider putting Boise number one. But if Boise's the only undefeated team, they've shown me enough. I think that there's a chance you could see a rematch here for a national championship game. If everyone else has two losses, and you've got a Virginia Tech team.
Yeah, you're
now,
looking at that ACC, with Carolina in disarray and who knows what's going to happen to Miami here. Yeah, it's possible.
What happens if Virginia Tech runs the table?
That looked like a pretty damn good team to me. No, I don't think you're crazy at all. And it is true about Boise. The WAC sucks. It does.
Right.
I'm not going to try to tell you anything else.
Right.
It does. It's a three-team league. Fresno is always a competitive team. They've given Wisconsin a couple of really good games the last 2 years.
Right.
They basically are Wisconsin. They're the third-place team in that league, and Nevada was second. But, you know, Nevada got run by Notre Dame. Hawaii is a system team and always has been. They're not what Boise is. See, that Hawaii Sugar Bowl really poisoned the league for Boise, I think, and a few years ago. And that's too bad. But what I see is this. Boise, when they get a chance to play a big boy, man, they show up. They play. They play tough, good overall football. Running, passing, blocking, tackling. And there's one other team that does that, and that's Texas Christian.
Yeah.
When they get a shot at a team, they went into Clemson last year, and no one really noticed it. But they went into Clemson, a very tough place to play, and they played their typically tough defense. That is a physical team. Beat Oklahoma a few years ago on the road. Beat up on Stanford 2 years ago. Really, really whooped them. That's the same Stanford team that last year ran up the score on Southern Cal.
You know, I think we can fall prey to college football snobbery very easily. And I remember when Alabama lost a game that was really what they considered to be a national championship qualifier in the SEC tournament, and then they went out and got absolutely ambushed by Utah.
Yeah, no one even talks about that. How can that be? And, you know, when SEC people, something like that happens to them, they were disappointed from losing the week before. But you know how they do that with the Bama, you know?
Sure, sure.
That year they'd lost to Florida in the title game, so they weren't ready to play.
Yeah.
You know, baloney.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing I said to a guy the other day about Boise, and he said, you know, I only play two games a year. I said, yeah, it sounds like Michigan and Ohio State
throughout
the whole Bo and Woody era.
Yeah. So why doesn't that play now?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, before we let you go, give us 1 minute on Rob Bolden, freshman quarterback from Orchard Lake, St. Mary. A lot of people around here saw him and knew he would be special. Tell us what you saw last week.
Yeah, we talked about it on the phone a few days ago just for funsies. And I think what I wanted to see, and I think it translates in any game, and I know it was only Youngstown State, but I just wanted to see three things out of him. Which is any young quarterback. You want to see that he recognizes stuff on the field,
right?
At least some. He looked terrific recognizing, making second and third reads, recognizing when to throw the ball away. He did that two or three times.
Right.
Did it very easily. He wasn't jittery back there. Just said he's got an internal clock. Okay, time to throw it away. No, I'm not going to try to jam it in anywhere.
Right.
For a kid that age, wow. Second thing was when he threw an interception, which wasn't really totally his fault because the receiver slipped, it didn't bother him. I wanted to see resiliency out of him. I wanted to see how he looked after he'd failed. Right. Didn't bother him. It rolled right off his back. It was very obvious. And the third thing is I wanted to see how he threw different kinds of balls. And he could gun some. He threw some with touch and recognized it immediately. Those three things translate in any game. Yeah, now, of course, he's in a completely different situation. He's never been in with 100,000 enemy yahoos going crazy. But still, that's going to serve him well throughout his career, and he'll grow. He's also very apparently pretty smart.
Not bad for a guy 65 years younger than his head coach. David Jones of the Harrisburg Patriot News, one of the best college football and basketball writers anywhere in the country. We'll talk to you soon, Dave.
Thanks, Romy.
All right. We'll be right back with more of the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.